All righty. Let's go back to the Lord in prayer as we have a prayer of illumination before we read the Word and share the message. Gracious and merciful God, we come to You this morning and we ask that You lift up the Word to us this morning. We ask that You share the meaning of the Word that we read this morning as well as the message. Lord, be with us now. Help it to nourish our spirits and our souls. Help it to nourish our way. Help it to be a part of our everyday in this ministry, as well as in our families and in our workplaces, with our colleagues and with strangers that we don't even know. Lord, we ask You to bless the Word and the message this morning, and bless all the ears and the spirits that receive it and hear it. All these things we ask in our living Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So this morning's scripture is fairly lengthy. So I must admit to you, I wrote this sermon first weeks ago before I wrote the sermon in the previous week and last week, which hopefully have led somewhat up to this morning's message. In our Bible study, we were studying 52 weeks with Jesus, and now we are on 30 weeks in Acts, and it's been a masterful group of people. And in 52 weeks of Jesus, we were able to study this story in the Bible. And ever since we studied it, I have never left it. So I have went and researched it and looked at it multiple times, and I have literally been hoping to be able to provide several sermons off of this, but this one particular has been special to my heart. So the scripture is long, and hopefully the message is brief, because our service is lengthy this morning as we are in Palm Sunday. So let's go to the Lord. I'm in the New Living Translation, John 4. We're going to read the entire chapter, and it's going to go all the way to 42, and this is Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. So let's go and see what the Lord has to say. Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that He was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Through Jesus Himself didn't baptize them, His disciples did. So He left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on His way. Eventually He came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because His disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoy?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," she said, "give me this water. Then I will never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus said, "You are right. You don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is this that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it here on Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshiped?" Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. Your Samaritans know very little about the one who worships, while we Jews know all about him. For salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him in this way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything then to us." Jesus then said, "I am the Messiah." Jesus then saw his disciples coming back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, "What do you want with her?" or "Why are you talking to her?" The woman left the water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?" she said. So the people came streaming from the village to see him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, "Rabbi, eat something." But Jesus replied, "I have a kind of food you know nothing about. Did someone bring him food while we were gone?" one of the disciples asked. Then Jesus explained, "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. You know the saying, 'For mouths between planting and harvest.' But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for the harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike? You know the saying, 'One plants and another harvests.' And it's true, I sent you to harvest where you did not plant. Others had already done the work, and now you will get to gather the harvest." Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said he told her everything about her. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So Jesus stayed 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard for ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Messiah, the Savior of the world." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So our message title this morning is, "It Just Takes One." The children's message this morning was "The Power of One." Almost one in the same, but slightly different. So I say to you again, good morning, and welcome to Bethel Presbyterian Church as we celebrate Jesus' arrival this morning on Palm Sunday. It was important for me to take us back a bit to the meaning of his ministry. And this is where I want to focus this morning's message on. It was also important for me to reflect on the last two sermons. At least I believe they have somewhat led up to this message, or I hope they have. If my memory serves me correctly, I've pounded the table pretty hard the last two Sundays on two very important duties that we have as Christians. Two very important duties that we should carry out as disciples of Jesus Christ. One was evangelism, and the other was our personal humility. During my evangelism sermon, I told you that God wants all of his children to come home, and it is our duty to bring them home. I also stated that Jesus Christ is our Savior, and he spent his entire time, his precious limited time here on earth, taking time for each one of us, each and every person. In fact, Jesus focused on the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the thieves, and other people who considered at the time to be the bottom of society. Jesus spoke to those who lacked moral and ethical values and character. He spoke to sinners and those who had lost their way. And in that message, I shared with you that we too should do the same, as many of us are sinners ourselves. During my sermon on not being able to see the forest for the trees last week, I gave out a stark warning. In fact, I used the term professional Christians. I said we can get so wrapped up in being a Christian that we forget to have a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We forget that we must examine ourselves and remain humble before God. I then said the plain fact is the only way we could ever stand before the throne is to accept the forgiveness that Jesus offers and to take on His righteousness, not our own. If you remember, I closed that sermon with this statement. In order for us to see, we must keep our eyes off the world, off of ourselves, and focus solely on Christ Jesus. If we look at this story, friends, this morning that we read, and we read the entire story, this morning, this is exactly what the Samaritan woman done. This is the very reason I read the entire story to you. At first, the Samaritan woman struggled to see, but then her eyes were opened, and she was filled with the living waters found only in Christ Jesus. You see, there's a story that you don't know until you study this portion of the Scripture, but there's an avenue around Jacob's well. There's a way to get around Samaria if you were a Jew. And what's key here this morning is the disciples went on. Jesus dispatched them to the town. He sent them on to garner and gather food for the evening meal. But where did our loving Savior go? He trekked right into Samaria. He went on the path that had hurdles and obstacles. A Jewish man driving straight to the well, to Jacob's well. Why? To simply meet this Samaritan woman. Jesus sought her out, just like He seeks me and you. The Samaritan woman didn't expect anything to come from her daily walk to the well. In fact, she was blinded by the world because she purposely went at this specific time so that she could avoid anyone. Not just the people from her village, but anyone. She wanted to arrive at the well and draw her water completely by herself. But as soon as she arrived, she met Jesus, sitting on the side of the well. And her life, in His immediate presence, changed forever at that moment. When she arrived at the well, there He sat on the well, begging or asking for a drink. She expected Him actually to turn away, as it was the Jewish custom. No Jewish man would certainly talk to a Samaritan, and in fact, it was taboo in social climate for a man to have a conversation with a woman at all in the general public. And yet, there He sat. Jesus, no ordinary custom kind of fellow, did not turn away from the Samaritan woman. Even when Jesus spoke to her, it floored her because it was totally against the social norm. Jesus dismissed, however, the societal rule because this was the perfect opportunity for ministry. Let me repeat that. Jesus dismisses the societal rule to speak to her because it was the perfect opportunity for ministry. I ask you this morning, how many times do we dismiss the societal rule because we find ourselves in the perfect opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or do we dismiss it? a question you must ask yourself. Surprisingly and reluctantly, she responds to Jesus and she has a simple conversation. And I want to make a note of this. Through simple conversation and a willingness to open a dialogue, just to talk, just to simply say hello and speak and hold on a simple conversation, Jesus showed her that God's love is greater than any human barrier. He showed her that God's love is greater than any personal or spiritual tradition. And more importantly, he showed her that God's love is far greater than any prohibition. In doing so, the woman put all of her trust in Christ Jesus. Even though he knew all of her secrets and all of her faults, she put her entire trust in Christ Jesus. Can we not learn from this Samaritan woman? She did this because she was face to face with her sin. But still, she was loved by Jesus Christ. This is a woman who had been involved in multiple relationships and living in sin currently, and walked up on a stranger known to be the Messiah, her Savior, and within minutes, she trusts him. And all because he simply shared with her, in all of her faults, all of her shortcomings, and all of her sin, he simply shared his love. And immediately she puts her trust in him. In this story, she immediately responded to God's gracious forgiveness by immediately departing and heading back to the village to share this story with all the others. Now, I call your attention back to what I told you earlier. If you study this passage, she always goes to the well on a day where she runs into no one. And yet, she leaves the well immediately once she has found the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and the love that he presents her. She immediately dispatches herself. He doesn't dispatch her. She dispatches herself back to the very village of the people she did not want to intermingle with. This is huge. One thing to note, though, as believers today, is the woman arrived at the well that day prepared to draw water. As she spoke with Jesus, she actually begins the process of lowering the bucket and obtaining the water because he physically asked her for a drink of water. However, I want to call your attention. When she left to share the blessings of the living water that she had been given through her experience with Jesus Christ, the bucket remained. This simple notation leaves one true fact on our table this morning about our loving and living Savior. Her thirst that she went to the well for had been quenched by the Messiah. She no longer was in need of the physical water. She no longer was in need of the effort to quench her thirst. She was complete. Full of this new living water, she shared the message of his amazing love with everyone she knew, and she did it without a bucket. Now, I'm not sure when you came in the service this morning, but you may have been carrying a lot of things and you were carrying some palm leaves, but I didn't see any of you carrying a bucket. And you won't leave here with a bucket, not a physical bucket, but you will leave here with the living water, or so it is my hope. Today, our message speaks to the power of one. This meaning this morning, we reflect on one man entering a town in glory, bringing peace, love, grace, truth, light, hope, all of these things he brings to the world on the back of a donkey. All around him they stood and chanted, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Again this morning I have shared an additional story about one woman, the power of one, condemned by those who knew her, who left the well of earthly water refreshed in the living water of Jesus Christ and united an entire town and village and brought them literally to Jesus. Two totally different examples, both common denominator, Jesus Christ. Jesus comes into town, he comes into Jerusalem, and he saves the world. The Samaritan woman leaves the well in his spirit, with his forgiveness and his love, just like me and you today. We share the same, and she saves the village. Today, on the eve of Easter, as we celebrate Palm Sunday, waste not one more minute of your blessing. If you come to our Bible study, there's a young lady who was telling a story, and she talked about this story with her boss, and she was worried about whether he was right with the Lord. And the long and the short, or the Cliff Note version of the story, is she finally told him every time he would sneeze, she'd say, "Bless you." And he'd say, "Why are you blessing me?" And she said, finally, she got so tired of that every time he'd do it, because she'd respond the way she always did. She said, "Jim, just take the blessing." So this morning, I share her sentiments. We are blessed with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take the blessing. Take the blessing. As Christians, every day we experience the reality of Christ's love in our lives. We are blessed by that. Friends, it is extremely important that we share the gospel, because it is life or death. It is just like it was that day at Jacob's well. She had a choice. She took the blessing. And look what the power of one did. Remember, Jesus saw her out at the well. He knew she was coming alone. Jesus seeks you. Share his blessing. For this message that we share, may we truly be different today than we were yesterday. In fact, as Christians, we are different. A good different, but we're different. We believe in hope, love, and grace. Thus, we believe in the one who brought all those things to us, Jesus Christ. So, in a way, we are different. Again, don't dismiss or miss the forest for the trees here in this statement. Many times we do not see the hundreds and thousands who accept us. Many times we don't see the friends who realize they are blessed by our presence. Many times we don't realize the blessings we share with each other. And here's where we get in trouble. We don't see all those things that where we are accepted, because we only notice the one or two things that doesn't accept us. And then we get all bogged down into that. And we struggle into those ruts of life because this doesn't work or this person doesn't accept us. We're missing the blessings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because we are Christian. We've got to get out of the rut. It is time now to share His message and His blessings to the world. Take note of our friend at the well. She went back and brought hundreds to Christ because she trusted in Jesus Christ. This is the same woman that left that place alone. She wanted to be alone. She was a soul person. She was a loner. And yet she brought hundreds back to Jesus at the well that day. In closing, Jacob's well, where this story took place, was a well that had been used for centuries. It was built by the Hebrew patriarch, Jacob. It was a place where many went to rest and refresh themselves and allow for themselves to take time, R&R perhaps, rest and relaxation. They drew water there not only for themselves, but they drew water to refresh their families and their animals. In short, the water served all out of Jacob's well. If you read the story in depth, she tells you how many people are refreshed at that well. In turn, she finds another well. And thus, so do we. In turn, the well of Jesus Christ is also refreshing. Many of us go there to rest and refresh ourselves. It is from here we draw living water to refresh not only ourselves, but our friends and our families and our church families and our communities and those who are sick and in need of prayer. However, just like our Samaritan friend, we must also draw water to refresh others. This brings me full circle back to our evangelism message. It is our job to draw water. It is our job to carry our bucket. It is our job to share the message of Jesus Christ. And on this Palm Sunday, this water serves all. And I do mean all. The entire world, regardless of race, creed, or color, this water serves all. And it is bottomless. It is a well that has no ending. It refreshes like a spring within one's soul, as Scripture said. The supply of living water is endless. All we simply have to do is ask. The well of life is provided by Jesus Christ. And I ask you to remember this. If you remember nothing that I said this morning, remember these words. It just takes one. On Palm Sunday, the one was Jesus Christ. Jacob's well, the one was the Samaritan woman. It just takes one. This morning I ask you, is it you? Amen.